All right. How's everybody doing this morning? Ready for Christmas? Anybody ready for Christmas? Got all your shopping done? Everything under the tree? You got your tree up? And anybody? I see some hands going up. Not at my house, although it took me 2 hours to find my Christmas tree lights in the garage. I finally found them. That's going to tell you, it's good to be back. Last week, just so I missed last week, I really appreciate Dan stepping up and sharing God's word with you and giving me the time so I can go. I'm sitting here, I have been here 34 years. I have probably missed less than 30 Sundays in 30. I love this church. I love being here. But just so you want to know something, I went to church last week, okay? Disneyland Church, all right? Now, you guys are lucky. My service Sunday night, my service last week was 5:30 in the evening. That's what time my services start. 300-member choir, 30-piece orchestra. They read the Bible story. Some guy, actor, I thought he was British. I found out he's Australian. His name's Chris something. He plays Thor in the movies, you know, and I forget all the movies. But I got to hear the Christmas story. But you guys don't know how lucky you are. We got a lot of extra seats here. You need to be asking some others to get here. In order for me to get a seat for a 5:30 in the evening service, I lined up at 6 o'clock in the morning. All right? Literally ran, because there was only 11 benches, to get a seat. I ran and got the second bench. They were gone in less than a minute to get a seat. They have some white seats if you're somebody special, which I don't qualify. You know, that people get to sit in. But if you're not there, if you don't get one of those benches, you're going to stand among thousands of people. It's an awesome experience. It is at Disneyland. They make a Christmas tree. The choir decorates the whole train station. 600 people singing in this choir, carrying candles, marching down there. It's an awesome experience. And to hear God and hear God's word read is an amazing experience. But I got in line at 6 o'clock in the morning to get a seat. So you don't know how lucky you are. You know, I wish I could walk in some Sunday when I get here at 7 and see a line out that door going, I want a seat, you know? But it's fun. But it's good to be here. It is Christmas time, and, you know, I'm thinking about this morning's message. And, you know, this message this morning, if you're a Christian, it's going to fit really well. And if you're not a Christian, if you're just kind of checking God out, you really want to know about this message this morning, because I want to talk about peace. You know, it's Christmas time. How many of us really find peace at Christmas time? Anybody? You know, I mean, you got the hassles of traffic. Then you got the crowd at the mall, although I guess Amazon's taking over that. You know, it's crazy. I mean, I live here, and it's like you get on the freeway and you stop. Anybody been on the freeway park? That's called a parking lot now. You know, and we deal with all the, you know, and it's like, yeah, this is supposed to be peaceful. You know, and we wrestle with all this and all these kind of conversations. Where is peace? You know, there's world trouble. There's concerns in our daily lives. You know, there's broken relationships. You know, and we live at this Christmas time, and it's like hustle, rush everywhere. People in the hospital. You know, I went to 2 different hospitals 2 different days, and just all the stuff going on, and it's like, yeah, peace. You know? And I want us to think about that. I was reminded as I was writing the message in junior college, my history professor, teacher stood up one time and he asked this question. I'm going to ask a question to you. He asked the question, do we live in a world of war with times of peace, or do we live in a world of peace with of war? What kind of world do we live in? And, you know, as he asked that question, when you're 28, 24 years old, it's like, I didn't get it. But I'm at a point in my life where I pretty much come to the conclusion that we live in a world of war with times of peace. And it kind of fits with my understanding of God's word and my theology. It kind of fits with all of that because man is born with this sinful nature. We're born, you know, and I'm going to tell you, I got good news for you and bad news. The bad news is you're a sinner. You know, bad news is you're self-centered. Anybody who's not self-centered? You know? I don't see any hands go up, you know? Anybody here not selfish? You know? You know, we like to think. Now, you guys, you know, you're sitting there like you wouldn't raise your hand anyway. Because most of us think, you know what, I'm not that bad. Anybody in that one that's not that bad? You know, I'm not that bad, you know. But in essence, we're all broken, and we live in a broken world. But we all want peace. And that's really what Christmas is about. It's about God entering our world in the midst of its brokenness, and in the midst of the concerns of trouble in our life, in the midst of those broken relationships. God has said, I want to step into your life and bring some peace. And it seems unbelievable. You know? But there's a great story of the birth of Jesus that began with some shepherds. When God appeared there with the message. So I want to read that. Get your outline out. You can follow along. There's some blanks to fill in. And it reads like this. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel appeared among them, and a radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. Now, I'm going to be honest. If I seen an angel, I'd be terrified too. Because I my fear would be, is it time to go now? You know, that would be my first thought, you know. It's like, okay, God, you know, you're here to take me home? You know, it'd be a little terrifying. I don't know about you, but that's kind of, you know, I can identify with this part. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in the manger. Suddenly the angels, joined by a vast host of others, the armies of the heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those whom God has pleased. Peace on earth. Do we see it? I don't know about you, but when I look in the news, I don't see much peace. You know, I don't see peace in the Middle East. I don't see peace in the Asian community, the North Korea. You know, I don't see peace in America. We can't even open a memorial for the civil rights movement and have peace. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, and yet here the angel says there's peace. But I want you to underline a little phrase there. That last little word, there's about 5-6 words, goes this. To those whom God is pleased. Why don't you underline that? We're going to come back to that. All right. God offers peace to those whom God is pleased. Now, you might have read the old King James, one of the other translations, but really, that's what it says. I looked in several different translations. I went even into the Greek, and what is he trying to say here? That God's peace is conditional. God's peace is there, but there's a condition for it. It's possible for us. I'm going to talk more about that, but what kind of peace is it? You know, I got on the internet and I Googled peace. I went to dictionary.com website, and most of the peace, it had like 9 or 10 things listed there for peace, and most of it, absence of war, no problems in your relationships. You know, that was kind of the definition. You had to get down to like number 9 before you really found peace. Then I looked up the Greek word and the Hebrew word, and it referred back to the Hebrew word shalom, which is that greeting that the Hebrews would have for one another, a warm embrace, shalom. They would greet one another, peace be with you, kind of peace. And then the Greek word had these two words, and I want to concentrate on these as it defined them, harmony and tranquility. Because that's what peace is. Peace is a harmony, a getting along. It's a tranquility, a calmness, a serenity. Peace isn't the absence of war. It isn't the absence of troubles in our life. It's not the failure of all our broken relationships and mending those relationships. Peace is in the midst of life, in the midst of all that's going on in our life, the good, the bad, the ugly. The healthy days, the days when we're not so healthy, the days when our relationships are stressed and strained. You know, it's at peace. And That illustrate. I've used this illustration a lot because it's really a great illustration. Some of you may have never heard it. It's that king that issued the contest. He wanted his kingdom to paint him a picture of the most peaceful event in life. So they all had this contest, and the king had all these paintings sitting before him of peaceful situations. And the king narrowed down his two selections to these two paintings. One was that deer in the meadow, the mist rising from the ground, the sun raising in the sky, and here's this deer calmly feeding in the dew of the morning. And the other picture was that crashing fall, the thundering sound of that water crashing down on the rocks below, and the mist rising up. And the people look at that going, just the paradox, the calm picture, the tranquil picture of the deer and the crashing waterfall. And the king chose the crashing waterfall. And they looked at him, and how can he choose that? But he pointed out in the midst of that crashing waterfall is a little branch sticking out from the waterfall. And on that branch is a bird's nest. And in that bird's nest are some baby birds. How many lives like that? That's peace. With the world and everything crashing around you, with all the troubles and heartaches that are happening around you, that in the midst of all that, you can have a tranquility. Isn't that peace? Isn't that true peace? That's the peace we want. That's the peace we desire, because life can offer those dew-raising days when it's just calm in the meadows. How many have those days every day? How many wish you could have one just once a week? You know, just give me one a week, God. When it's a calm day, when there's nothing rising up, when there's no heartaches, when there's nothing going on, Lord, when I can breathe and I can sit back and I can rest. God, I just need a break today. Anybody? See, but most of us live in the that crashing waterfalls all around us. But we need that peace that comes. We need that peace that God wants to give us. You know, that, and that's that challenge. And I think Paul says it well, because I think this is what he's talking about. Look at what he says here. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. How can you have a peace when things are crashing down around you? Can you? It's unbelievable. It doesn't make sense. How do you understand that when life is falling apart, that there's a calmness and a tranquility? How does that happen? Where does that take place, and we make that happen? Will you guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus? See, that last phrase, that Christ Jesus. See, that's the peace we desire. I can't offer you this morning a peaceful world. I can't offer you a week of no trouble. You know what? God bless you. Have no trouble this week. See you later. You know? I can't offer you a great time that, no, all your relationships this week are going to go great. You know that guy that gives you a bad time at work? You know that neighbor that you just can't stand? You know, no problems this week. You're just going to have a great week with no broken relationship. Wouldn't that be nice to be able to do that? But what I can promise you is a harmony and a peace inside of you through Christ Jesus. Anybody know that? Because that's really where peace is at. And so I gave three shapes of peace here. I kind of want to lay out peace here before I get into that conditional part. Because here's the three pieces. Peace you need. You need peace with God. You notice it all starts with Christ. The birth of Christ is what? I think I had two people that wanted to come up and sing that Hark the Herald Angels Sing song again. They enjoyed that. There's, I guess, 2 weeks in a row now. You know, I don't guess they're going to come up. I'm giving some worship team a bad time. But we have this peace with God that I start with this calmness, God, that I'm in harmony with God, that God desires this relationship. That's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about God in heaven saying, I love these down here and I care for these down here, and I've got to do something to bring them back into my family. I've got to draw them back in. I'm going to send my son. Anybody know John 3:16? I wish I had the kids in here. They'd quote it for you guys. You know, that Awana group, man, they can stomp that out for you in our class. That's what Christmas is all about. John 3:16 is Christmas story, isn't it? You know, and that's God. See, that's the peace. We need that peace with God. I need to have that harmony with God, that God and I, we're on the same page. You know, we're in this oneness with God. But also, I need a peace that's within, okay? The next piece I put down there, a peace that's within me. I need a serenity within me. I need a tranquility within me. I need this emotional calmness. I really needed it this week. Yeah, you know, I was down in Southern California. They had all those wildfires down there in Southern California. We leave Disneyland at about 3:15 Tuesday afternoon. 9.5 hours later, at 1:45, I pull into my parking driveway. We had to drive all over to get out of LA. Highway 5 was closed. Traffic was horrible. I needed some tranquility, okay? You know, it's like, okay, God, stay calm. No, God, keep me calm. You know? But we need that inner peace, that inner calmness, and that emotional peace, that rest. Anybody ever just go, I just need a break. I just need a break. Can't my kids give me a break? You know? Anybody ever feel like that? You know, can't my job just give me a rest today? Make it an easy day at work today? Come on, you know. Anybody ever say things like that? You know, we need this inner peace, this inner part of ourselves. I messed up reading that other scripture, didn't I? But I'm going to read this one. May the God, the source of hope, fill you with joy and peace through your faith. Then you will overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Where's that faith? In Him. See, there's this inner peace that we need, this calmness that we need, this tranquility. And the last piece I put here that we need is a peace with others. I'm going to tell you, out of these three, for me, you know which one's the hardest? Peace with others. Anybody on board with that one? You know, it's pretty easy to get peace with, you know, I can find some inner peace. But there are some relationships that drive me crazy. You know, and there's some things that anybody ever have those that you're just dreading this week? You know, or maybe Christmas, you know, Uncle Joe's coming over. Remember Uncle Joe? You know, everybody's got to have an Uncle Joe. You know, Uncle Joe, Petticoat Junction. Now, come on, you guys, get with me here. You know, remember Joe, you know, we you know, it's like that peace with others, you know, how do we get along with others? You know, how do I get along with those in my family, you know, and then at work and my neighbors, and how do we move in that realm and getting along? And so we need this peace with others. And look at what it says here in Hebrews. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Make every effort. Make every effort. See, we need these kinds of people. We need that peace with God. We need that inner peace. And we need that peace, that relationship, this tranquility, this calmness, this harmony, this serenity, that we have this peace where really we can just kind of breathe. And we need it because the world's not going to offer it. The world is broken. It's messed up. I'm going to put it this way. I love, there was a song we had during vacation Bible school last year that I really loved. It went like this. Sin messed the world all up. Sin messed it all up. And it really did. And our world's messed up. And then in our lives, just the turmoil and the troubles in our life and all those relationships. How do we get this peace? The angels come. I got good news of great joy. Then the heavenly hosts join in, promises this unbelievable peace. So how do you get there? How do we get that? I want to read the rest of that story there. And the scriptures are there in your outline. On the back side, it goes like this. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go. I circled that. You might want to circle that too. You want peace, you got to go. All right? It doesn't just fall on you. You got to go. To Bethlehem. Let's see, too. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And then I also circled, they hurried. I think that's funny. I got to hurry to find peace. Sounds like a contradiction to me. You know, I got to hurry to find peace. I just want to calm, just slow down. You know, just so you know, when I get done with church, I like walking home after church. Unfortunately, I live close by because I get to breathe. I get to sound. And if I'm going anywhere, just so you know, you'll notice when, if you ever hang around and see us leave church after church on Sunday, guess who's driving? Laura's driving. You know, I need some time to, you know, and we need that. We got to hurry to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Good news. Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, brings us peace. Is that good news? Isn't that great news? There is peace on earth to those whom he's well pleased. But as I looked at the shepherds, I kind of thought about my life. You know, I kind of looked at the shepherd, you know, and kind of looked at their journey of a shepherd, and it kind of reminds me of us. You know, the shepherds would get up in the morning, they would gather their flock, they would gather the sheep, they would call them together, and then they would march out to the pasture land. As I read the story here, this is probably what's so interesting. We do Christmas in the winter. Jesus was probably born in the spring, just so you kind of want to know. It's probably springtime because they didn't have far to feed the sheep. They were just outside the village. The grass was still green outside the village because the shepherds would have to travel wherever the grass was. And as the time went on, you had to go further and further out to feed the sheep. And so the shepherds would gather their sheep and walk out into the field and stand and watch over their sheep as they would graze. And they had to keep good eye on the sheep because sheep keep their head down and they just keep grazing. And the sheep would graze and just keep going and just wander off. And a sheep would look up and have no idea where it was. It just, anybody ever do that? You're just wandering around and you can't, and all of a sudden you look up and you go, where am I at? Anybody ever been that one? You know? And that's the sheep. They would just wander off. But the shepherd, remember David had that little slingshot to tuck out Goliath? Well, he'd have little pebbles and he would take those pebbles and he would take his sling and he wouldn't hit the sheep, okay? Just animal rights, okay? You know, he didn't hit the sheep. But he would get the sheep's attention. It's like, hey, too far out there. You might want to turn around and come back before you get too far. He had to protect the sheep. He had to guard them from wandering off. You know, and then he had his staff and his rod. He had to protect them. That rod, that little two-foot rod, because there was hyenas and tigers and bears and I don't know all that stuff that was out there. You know, there were wild animals, wolves. You know, he had to protect his sheep because I don't know about you, but you don't have porcupine prickles and, you know, they can't protect themselves very well. They ain't got very big teeth. You know, you're a sheep, you're in trouble. You know, and so he had to protect the sheep from the wolves. He had to protect them from robbers. I was reading about the robbers. The robbers would kind of sneak into the rocks and they would reach up. And I was going to tell you, I'll tell you the gory part. They would reach up and grab a sheep and slit its throat and throw it over to their friend and steal the sheep. And they had to watch their sheep. And they had that rod to protect. You know, I've told you the story. They have that staff, that stick with a crook on the end. And the sheep fell into the rocks. They could take that over and hook behind its front legs and pull that sheep up. Maybe the sheep got a scratch there, or maybe the sheep walked into some thorn bushes and got scratched or something. And the shepherd would pick it up and take some of that olive oil that they had back there and anoint that sheep and so it wouldn't get infected and he would care for the sheep. He had to take the sheep to find water. You know, they're grazing. Now it's time to go get water. He'd stand in the sheep and he'd begin to call out for the sheep and they would come and they would gather and he would lead them to the water. Now, I make sure you know he would lead them. Now, I grew up watching country and western movies. Anybody watch country and western movies in their younger days? You know, John Wayne. Come on, you guys. Don't act so innocent. I'm not that old. You know, you'd watch John Wayne. You know, they're on a cattle drive. You know, they got to drive the cattle. You don't drive sheep. You lead sheep. And so he would lead the sheep. And he'd take the sheep to the water so they could feed, they could drink from the water. He took care of those sheep. He would name the sheep. As I read the story, they talk about naming sheep from some of the dumb things the sheep did. I mean, can you imagine? Hey, Rockhead, get her. You know, I could just see him naming some sheep, you know. Hey, Scarface, get over here, you know. I could just see him naming his sheep by some of their behavior, by some of the ways they looked, you know. And he had all these sheep, and he took care of these sheep. And it'd come time to take them back to the sheepfold, and he would, again, gather in the middle, and he'd just begin to call out. And the sheep would start coming. And they'd start gathering around him, and he'd lead them back to the fold. And if one was missing, and he would count them, and he would know, and go out and search for the lost sheep. You know. And as I read this story, then he's sitting there that night, and all of a sudden there's an angel. I can see why he's terrified. And the angel says, "I got some good news for you. You know, I got something special going to happen." You know, and he had a long day. It's been hot, baking in that sun. And if you know that area, there's not a lot of shade trees, you know, and there's not a lot of place to hide out of the sun. And he's watching those sheep, and he's caring for his sheep. And as I read that story, I kind of thought, you know, is that kind of like our lives? Anybody? You got to get up every morning. You got to get up. You got to go to work. Because you don't go out and get the food, but you got to go make the money to buy the food. Anybody on that one? You know? You got to put food on the table for your family. You got to put a roof over their head. You know, and then just like the sheep that get wounded and the sheep that are hurting and the sheep that are sick, guess what? You may got sick. Anybody get sick themselves and you got to go to the doctor. And you know, I just kind of read this story and I'm kind of looking. You know, it really is our life, isn't it? You know, protecting ourselves, feeding ourselves, just everyday life and God's in the midst of all of this. And God's involved in all of it. And we journey through life and we wander through life. And sometimes we wander off and God needs to get our attention. Oh, you know, and hopefully when he throws his rocks at us, he doesn't hit us. Sometimes I don't know about you, but sometimes God needs to hit me, all right? You know, it's like, Gary, you better wake up now. You know, some of you know my prayer. I always pray this. And I'm serious about this. I do. I say, God, I want to learn with a 2x4 before you get me with the 4x4. You know, I do. I pray that because sometimes I don't know about you guys. I can be stubborn. Anybody can be stubborn. You know, I can be bullheaded. You know, it's just my nature. You know, and we need to see this in our lives. And but here's these shepherds. And I kind of thought, that's isn't that our lives? Just day in and day out. I got to get up. I got to go to work. I got to put food on the table. Got to take care of my family. Got to protect my family. Got to take a doctor. I got to, and then you got to go home at night. And it's like I'm tired. Anybody go home at night tired? You know, I just want to rest. In the midst of that, here's what I want to tell you. In the midst of all of that, in the midst of that crashing in your life, God shows up and says, hey, I got good news for you. Good news. In Bethlehem, my son, your Savior, is born. And he can bring peace to your life. There's an interruption like that in our life. That God steps into the midst of our life, in the midst of all that's going on around us, in the midst of everything that's happening to us, everything there, that God steps into the midst of that life and says, hey, I'm here. I got some good news for you. See, I like this story here. There's peace. There's peace. But I want you to know this. It's a conditional peace. The peace isn't for the world. At least it doesn't come for the world. We truly do live in a world of war. It's always been there. I look over my lifetime. You know, my professor asked that question at the end of the Vietnam War. I was going to college, 1973. And that teacher asked me that question. We have just been pulling out of Vietnam. Look at all the wars we've had since Vietnam. Some of you served in Vietnam. Some of you were served in World War I, too. Not one. None of you guys have been in one. Woo, I got to watch that. Yeah. But look at all that. Look at our world. Desert Storm, my son, some of your children, some of our children are serving in the service right now. They give us the freedom that we have. We live in this world. Yeah. And even our lives, even in the midst of our life, work, can I say this? Work can be hell. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody got an experience like that? Work is just, it's like hell. You know? And life and family and sick and hustling. I got to be somewhere, you know. And it's like I got 100 things to do today. And then Laura forgot her purse in Sacramento. Guess where I'm going this afternoon? I'm going back to Sacramento, but I need to go see my dad. You know, his birthday's this week, so I'm going to go see my dad. So give me an excuse. I would probably not went if she didn't do that. So I think, I wonder, I'm afraid she's going to hear me, but I wonder if she did it on purpose. I don't know, guys. Don't. Some of you guys know your wives, right? Come on now. You guys laughing at me. You know? But, I, you know, it's like, okay. But we deal with it. You know, I already got enough to do. She's looking now. I already got enough to do. I didn't need to go to Sacramento. Come on. You know? But we all do. You know, anybody, you know, how do we find peace? I just want to sit down. I get back at 1:30, at quarter to 1, didn't get in bed till 1:30. I got to get up, and I had meetings Wednesday, hospital day, meetings Thursday, hospital Friday, trying to get everything ready for Sunday here on Friday, all the PowerPoint, all the handouts on Friday, run back to the hospital. Just, anybody have days like that? It's like, God, I just want a break. Can I just go home today and take a nap? Anybody? Where do you find that peace? But it comes from that relationship with God. I like that passage. Peace to those whom God is pleased. Now, here, I want to say, do I think God is always pleased with Gary? No. All right? Let me preface that right now. I am sure there is time with God's going, Gary, what do you think you're doing? All right? I just know. But in the big picture of things, I've crossed that invisible line. God wants to give me peace. Anybody on board with that one? We're not practically perfect. Mary Poppins and I are going to be on this boat together. You know? But God wants his peace. There's his peace. And so I put it this way. If you got your outline, I got just about blanks here to fill in. I need to accept the free gift. If you want peace, you got to accept the free gift of God. It's the birth of Jesus Christ. It's the Christmas story, folks. You got to reach the point in your life where you say, you guys know where I'm going, right? God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. You got a point in your life where you realize, God, I've messed my life up, and I need better than this. And I know I can do better than this. But God, I need you to do it. Forgive me of all my sins and cleanse me and wash me, and I'm going to walk you. That's a free gift. It's free. It's there. All you got to do is ask for it. I like the passage, Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord might be saved. Some of you are laughing because you know I quoted it wrong. Write that Romans 10:13 down. If you want reassurance of your faith, just go read Romans 10:13 over and over again. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I am going to heaven, folks. I'm on no quick train to get there. I want to make sure you know that. I don't want on a quick train. But I am going to heaven. And it's not because I'm good. Not because I'm a preacher. It's in spite of all of that. It's because, born in that manger, born to a virgin, my Savior, Jesus Christ, died for me. That's my story. And it's a free gift. It's mine. It's there. It's that free gift. So you want the peace? You got to begin with that, okay? That's that condition. Here's the conditions. Second condition is this. You got to become one with God. You got to become one with God. Remember, Jesus prayed that. Jesus said, my Father and I are one, and I pray that you will be one as we are one. That means I'm going to be in step with God. I'm going to be walking with God. I'm going to be in fellowship with God. All right? That's what it means. I'm at one with God. That means on Sunday morning, guess where you should be? Anybody got a guess? All right, I heard somebody say it. Thank you. Yeah, you should be here in church. During the week, guess where you should be? In some Bible study groups, reading God's Word and studying and growing together, building a relationship. Yeah. I got to be in step with God. I'm going to tell you, I missed church last week. I had a great time over there at Disneyland. But it's not the same as being here. I love it here. I'm having a great time. I look over my life, and I was talking with some others. I have no regrets. Life is awesome. It's been a trial to get here. I was sharing with somebody how with this church, you know, 15 years set up and tearing down. Anybody remember that journey? Some of you guys say, I can't. I'll never forget it, right? Yeah, I'm never going to forget that. Yeah. But God, I'm going to be in step with God. I want to be one with God. I'm going to be walking with God. God, I'm tired of doing it this way. I'm going to do it your way, God. There's just a better way of doing life, a way that leads to peace, serenity, and a calmness in spite of everything else. God and I are in step together. The second one I put down here is I got to count on God. I'm going to count on God. I'm counting on God to take things and to work things. And it might seem like he's on vacation, but he's not gone. It might seem like he's sleeping, but he's not asleep. It might seem like he's silent, but he's still awake. God is there. I'm counting on God. I'm depending on God. He knows and he cares. I'm counting on God. Bad things, all those that crashing waterfall around me, all those worldly troubles and inner heartaches and those broken relationships, in the midst of all of that, that God's going to do something good. Anybody believe that? That God's going to do something good? As I was writing this, I reflected on this. I grew up in Sacramento, and we'd go to San Francisco, and we'd come around Highway 80 and over by the bay over there where the edge of the bay. The short water there in the bay, and driving along idiot, and they would have artistic things built. Anybody remember that? Anybody see that besides me? They would have artistic things. People would take the junk that was floating in the bay, and they would build artistic things in the bay from that junk. And I kind of thought, that's kind of what God does. God takes that junk in my life and builds something marvelous and something beautiful and something special out of it. I'm counting on God to those things. That's why I can have peace in the storm, because even though it's a storm, God, I don't know what's going to happen with this, and I don't like this, but God, I know you're going to take this, and it's always going to be hurtful, God, but you're going to do something good with it. You're going to make something beautiful out of it. See, I'm counting on God. Doesn't that bring you peace when you count on God? And then I put this last one here. I got two more. I got to accept others. Oh, crud. I got to accept unconditionally. Whew. That's the hard one, guys. Yeah, the guy that keeps poking you, that keeps aggravating you. You know, you guys know who I'm talking about, right? It might be at work. It might be in your home. Hopefully it's not your spouse. You know, that one that just, you know, it's an unconditional love. One of the things that helped me for this, we're going to do our 40-day study again. We do one every year. This 40-day study is called Goliath Must Fall. We're going to do it in January. We're going to start in January. I'll talk more about it. But one of the 40-day studies gave me this. If you missed this study, I wish I could find out what study it was. You need to know, I've gone back trying to find it. There's these three B's that helped me in this one point right here. They're burdens, they're backgrounds, they're battles. When somebody is bothering me, when somebody's aggravating me, when somebody me the wrong way, and I want to get angry, and they've pushed me, I step back and I go, what are their battles? What are their burdens? What is their background? What's making them act like that? That's really helped me deal with this unconditional love one. Those three B's just stick in my head all the time. So if I look at you one day and go, you remind me of a 3B, that's not good. So I'll never do it to you, okay? You know, but those three B's, it does. It helps. But, you know, it's like, what's going on in their life, you know? Did they just lose their job and they're struggling financially? You know, are the kids sick and they're hurting right now? You know? Were they molested as children, or was there something going on? You know, those burdens, battles, and that really helped me in this unconditional love, okay? And that's a challenge. I got to love them unconditionally. I got to accept them. And the last one, I got to serve God and others. Life's not about me. I don't know about you, but there's sometimes I think I got it so bad, man, my life is jacked. Then I talk to somebody else, and they tell me their story, and it's going, boy, I'm okay. Anybody been in that one? You know, you sit there, and you think you got it really bad, and you're just going, oh, man. And then somebody comes up and tells you their story, and you're going, thank God, it's not me. We serve others, it helps us. You know, I was visiting with someone this past week. They served at the gospel mission for Thanksgiving. I remember on as a youth group, when you guys went down as a youth group, we used to serve at the gospel mission for Thanksgiving. And that was really great because we literally served the people. Most of the time during the weeks, they come in and they walk through the line. But on Thanksgiving, you serve them. You take the plate to them and you pour the water for them and you serve them. Because some of these people have never had anybody serve them. And we need to do that. So I want to challenge us this Christmas. We want peace. You're not going to find it in the world. Matter of fact, as you go to the mall this week and the next few days, or Target or wherever you go, you're going to be challenged to find peace. People cutting in line, drivers that don't know how to drive, most aggravating one. Yeah. But you find peace in a baby wrapped in cloth, born of a virgin, lying in a manger. And so I want to ask you this morning, will you hurry to Jesus? They did. They hurried to Jesus. Do you need peace? You look at what I got there on that little outline. It says this, F-O-C-U-S. What does that spell? Focus. Focus on God this Christmas. Focus on Jesus. Focus on that baby lying in a manger, the Savior. I pray your Savior, your personal Lord and Savior, who will give you peace in today's world. Is peace possible? Is it? It is, through Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you for that baby, your son, born of a virgin, born to bring salvation to a broken world, to give life to us and to each here. But not to just any life, Lord, but to give us an abundant life. A life in the midst of a troubling world, of concerns in our daily lives, of broken relations, a life that can find peace in you. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe today God has stepped into you as he did to the shepherds. He's saying, come and see, and you need peace. Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you this morning? Just shoot your hand up. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. I see those hands. Anyone else? Lord, you've seen the hands of those. They need a peace. They need a calmness, a serenity, a tranquility. They need a comfort from your Holy Spirit. Their faith is in a God who sent his Son to bring life and eternal life and peace in the midst of a broken world. So I lift them up to you that you may comfort them, Lord. Just as a shepherd would pick up his sheep and anoint them in their wounds and comfort them in his words, I ask you to comfort thee in their wounds. To speak to their hearts comforting words and to encourage them. For truly you are the good shepherd. The good shepherd who loves us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.